Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Out there, how you doing today? This is Initial Reaction. I am JP Cadoran from Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, and really, I'm from anywhere you want me to be this week as we cover high school football nonstop for the next 13 weeks, right?
That's true. 13 weeks. I think of it as a 9-week season, but of course, that's not true. There's several playoff games beyond that. I, of course, am JR Radcliffe with Lake Country and Now Newspapers, and sending an army of writers out this week to the first week of football games, August 21st and 22nd. We had some really good games, man, and you,
it was awesome.
You were right in the fray. You got probably the best game of the week.
I liked it.
Yeah, at least in the Milwaukee area. It came Thursday night. Cedarburg-Greendale comes down to the wire. Tell me how that one played out.
Tell you about it, huh?
Yeah, tell me all about it. That's a question that like journalists hate it when other journalists ask. Tell me about this. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. But I'm going to do it anyway.
Hey, talk about your game on Friday night.
Talk about your game. Talk about how you felt.
Talk about how you played. How'd that feel when that happened? Who scored first? Greendale scored first. It was pretty fun. I mean, it was a gorgeous night. I mean, this was a game that was on Thursday. And both teams, you know, Cedarburg just came off a 13-1 season where they lost in the state finals. Pretty brutal. And so their offense had lost basically their whole O-line. That was kind of the big story going in, but both teams had scored 14 points, we'll say. Cedarburg got up 21-14. Greendale drove 99 yards. They had 6 minutes left. They drove 99 yards in about 3 minutes, so they actually made the mistake of leaving too much time on the clock. They were too good on offense. And then, so they scored to tie it at 21-all. Cedarburg gets the ball. Then they throw an interception to Mr. Jack Ringelberg as opposed to Josh Ringelberg, the All-State quarterback. So Jack picks the ball off. Now Greendale has the ball again. It's like 4th and 6. They're on like the 20-yard line, and Ringelberg has, I believe, Ty Ramirez wide open in the end zone. Throws it to him, the perfect ending to the game as the ball falls into his arms and then through his arms.
And you know, this is cemented in your memory very well because you, with a camera, happen to get some pretty crazy footage that you can see on Sports
Check
Weekly
it
this
yep.
week.
Sports Weekly, you know what's up.
It's pretty awesome footage. I mean, you were right there. You got every element to that final.
So then he drops the ball. So then we go into overtime. They score first. Another touchdown for Ringelberg. So they go up 28-21 after the extra point. Cedarburg gets the ball next. They score to go down 28-27. And in a move that I love, Coach Brian Lear decides to go for two. Basically, go win or go home. And the play that worked all game for them doesn't work. So they lose, they go for two, and they fail, and they lose 28-27.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Ty Ramirez, the guy who dropped that pass on fourth down that would have won them the game in regulation, I think he's the guy who comes around the weak side, tackles Stever from behind from Cedarburg, and sets that up. I mean, there were a lot of defenders in on that play, but just a crazy, crazy finish to a game. And what a way to start off the season, have a one-point victory with a do-or-die two-point conversion in overtime. It pretty much, that's, you can't do better than that. That's as good as it gets.
No, it was pretty sweet. The Ramirez brothers are out in full force. I believe Josh Michaels is the one who caught the overtime touchdown pass. Tate Kimmins is the one who unfortunately dropped the pass at the end of regulation.
Oh, I thought that was
no.
Ty Ramirez. My bad.
Ty Ramirez is the one who made the tackle on defense.
Okay.
And Angel is their running back who was phenomenal. However, Cedarburg's wide receiver / running back, Jonathan Stever, my goodness, is he a fantastic football player.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, he was fantastic. Just watching him basically play as a receiver, but then Cedarburg's running game was just fantastic. They're really, really good. And Stever, as good as he is on the football field, I talked with Coach Lear after the game. Apparently, he's heading to baseball after his senior year. So as good as he is on the football field, this is probably the end of the line. He probably has about 10 more football games, which is insane when you watch how good he is.
And that's similar to what Greendale's got going on. Both Ty Ramirez and Tristan Pipp, another big contributor.
Oh, my God.
Those guys are both great baseball players, sensational baseball players. And that team, the Greendale baseball team, was one of the best in the area last year. And they bring back a ton of kids who are all state kids this for this next summer.
Yeah, Pipp I did not know about until Thursday night.
He was just a junior.
Was a little bit covered up by others on the Greendale team, by their senior class that took him to state. Pipp is a tight end, and he's a linebacker, and he hits hard, and he is everywhere. He had, I think, 18 tackles. The kid is really, really good.
Yeah, Greendale coming off a crazy good year overall in their athletics program last year. Went to the state final in football, state tournament in basketball, had the top-ranked baseball team for a while, and yet they still have a lot of those athletes back this year. So really their senior class now is something pretty special at Greendale High School.
Where were you last week?
I went down to Waterford. Don't get down there that often. Actually, that was the first time. I can't even remember the last time I was at a Southern Lakes game. But this was a non-conference game with Pewaukee. It was a pretty one-sided battle in the first half. Waterford dominated, I would say. It was only 14-0, though. Both teams kind of had opportunities that went by the wayside in the first half. One really big opportunity each. And then in the second half, Pewaukee kind of slowly gained momentum and kind of became the enforcer in the game. They scored a touchdown to pull within a score. And then with 1:22 to go, Alec Wandler picks up a fumble. It was a fumble botched snap. Goes around left edge, 27 yards. Would have tied the game because that made it 14-13. They elected to kick the extra point. You know, we were just talking about that late in the game, go for two, kick the extra point. And it goes wide. It was just kind of a bad kick. And coming from a kid who had hit it the first extra point with no questions asked. I mean, it was clear as day down the middle. And Pewaukee was sort of becoming the aggressor. So it made sense that they would play for overtime at that point. They had to feel pretty comfortable. But, you know, getting back to that conversation, do you go for two? Do you kick the extra point? It made sense to me that they kicked the extra point in this case, given that, you know, talking to Coach Justin Frisky afterwards, they really felt like they had taken control of the game. But it's an interesting thing. You see more and more coaches are willing to risk it and willing to go for two, and the numbers are bearing that out, that the vast majority in high school of two-point conversions are successful, whereas when you boil it down to a kicker, you've got to get a good snap, a good hold, a good kick, and it's just not a very natural thing to do. You don't do it very many times during a game. It's not something that you can practice over and over and over. It's just easier to maybe run a play from scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm with you. When it comes down to Cedarburg, they had just absolutely dominated the line of scrimmage all night. I mean, it was very shocking to see the ease at which they were just running, because they would run basically the same play over and over and over, and they would get 6 yards every time, and the Greendale staff really couldn't do anything to stop it, and that's what was kind of surprising about it. Trying to look here. Yeah, they had 247 yards rushing, Cedarburg did. And so they went to the same play that they had been running basically all game, and then only this time was it stopped, and they were stopped a yard short. Obviously, you're playing on the two-yard line.
Yeah.
A yard is still pretty significant when you're trying to go 2 yards. But the point is, they were running it all game long, just pounding it down their throats, and Greendale couldn't stop them. And then finally, when they needed to, they did stop them. And it's week one. It's a non-conference game. It matters 0% when it comes to the rest of your season. The only thing it matters for is, like, playoff seedings, and that's it.
But
so,
that's actually not true anymore. They've taken that out of the equation. So even so what you're saying is right. This is the time of year to take some risks.
Oh, yeah. And plus, this is, you find out what plays work. You find out what your team can and can't do. So I had no problem at all with going for two there.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, you're seeing it more and more anecdotally. It's becoming the type of thing where it's just gonna happen more often. You're gonna, rather than put it on a kid. Another coach was telling me that Dave Keel, the Homestead coach, had told him once, if you kick it, you're putting it on one kid. But if you are running the play, that's on the coach. Now the coach makes the decision which play to run, and the coach can sort of bear the burden of the consequences if it doesn't go well. I mean, obviously, if they score, well, then it's the kid making a great play, and the coach should be comfortable with that. And then if it doesn't work, he could say, you know what, it was a bad play call, bad decision. Whereas with the kick, it's the right choice, normally the conservative choice, and a kid misses it, it's on him. It shouldn't be on him.
And they were getting 6 yards a carry,
yeah,
very, very few negative yards, so I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, it seems like the right time of year to take some risks early in the season. Anything else jump out at you in terms of as you look at the first round, first week matchups, surprises?
First round,
yeah. It would be great to be there.
There were a few. First of all, I think Mesmer Shorewood losing to Milwaukee King.
Yeah, upset it.
Even if King was the best team in the city, that's still surprising based on, we'll call it the trajectory that Mesmer Shorewood has been on lately under Coach Drake Zortman. I was surprised by that. So I was surprised to see them lose. Zach Bond from Brown Deer, 6 touchdowns. That kid is a beast.
Yeah, that guy is, I mean, I don't know how, injury is probably the only thing that could stand in his way from being all state, all area, all everything, because he's so important to that Brown Deer offense. He runs it, he passes it, unbelievable showing, and they have an interesting game. They're going out to Laconia, so kind of a weird road trip here in game two, but Brown Deer is going to be tough. That Woodland East is not as good as the West, has never been, but this year the disparity is not as big as it once was.
What about those Lasers, huh?
Kettle Moraine beating Oconomowoc 14-7. It is a surprise. I think we all thought Oconomowoc was, they started the year 10-0 last year, went to level 3, lost a ton of good kids off that team. We knew they wouldn't be quite at that level, but
Kettle Moraine was 2-7.
Yes. That was a fairly competitive game last year, but second year under Coach Dave Pfeiffer, who was with Arrowhead for so long. I mean, that's a huge, huge win for them. They have to feel really good. Forced 5 turnovers and are able to hold off a good Oconomowoc team at Oconomowoc on a night they're unveiling their new facilities, their new turf field and Ed Ruck Stadium, totally renovated. So a huge, huge win for Kettle Moraine. Real big surprise.
Then the only other surprise, I think, would be West Allis Hale beating Lake Geneva Badger. I think that one was 14-7 as well. Just Hale hasn't been that good. And Badger has usually made pretty deep playoff runs in the past. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything for Hale. I mean, they're still Hamilton, Falls, Marquette, Brook Central, Brook East waiting for them. But to get to at least get a non-conference win and get some good mojo going, I think that's pretty impressive.
It sounds like Badger's pretty young this year, but the Southern Lakes has really become one of the better football conferences in the area. And not really a secret anymore. Badger's very young, but still probably thought of as one of the top 2 or 3 teams in that conference. Waterford's probably number one. But, you know, Waterford, Wilmot, Badger, those are some really good programs right now. A win for West Allis Hale, I think, is a really big deal, especially because the Greater Metro, not that, I mean, it'll be a talented conference, but that, there's games that are winnable there that weren't winnable in previous years for a program like Hale. It's not, there aren't powerhouses. I mean, you saw Brookfield Central struggled with Whitefish Bay. I think that might have been a little bit of a surprise. Sussex Hamilton was up big on Franklin and wound up getting beaten there. Menominee Falls lost in their opening week, although they gave Oak Creek a definite... Menominee Falls showed up very well in the first week to push Oak Creek like they did. So the GMC, maybe not as superstar heavy as it has been in years past. Maybe West Allis Hale sneaks into the playoffs. They might be a surprise this year.
Wow. I would be very shocked at that, just because of how many teams they have to leapfrog. But they're on their way.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
One outcome that interested me was seeing Waukesha North beat Port Washington. I want to say it was 41-9, something in that neighborhood. And North has struggled for years, no secret. Classic 8 is a brutal, brutal conference, and it's almost impossible if you're in the lower tier to get into the playoffs out of the Classic 8. And North has certainly struggled. They got a first-year coach in Matt Harris. They've had a lot of different coaches over the past decade and a half. But this guy's an alumnus of Waukesha North. Worked under Tom Swiddle at Brookfield East, was their offensive coordinator. Zach D'Amico last year at Brookfield East, their quarterback. Great dual threat. And then in that first game, Jacob Thode, a returning honorable mention all-conference kid, comes in, throws for 100 yards, passes for 100 yards, catalyzes that whole thing. They lost to Port Washington last year, and here they are turning it around and winning big. So really, really good sign for North. Nobody's going to pick them to go to the playoffs just yet, but a really good sign for that program.
And Port, you know, they're not world beaters necessarily, but they've been a pretty decent program.
Yeah, they're fine. They're okay.
Thinking back to the Josh Gosser days.
Yeah, when he was
for the Pirates. They've always been a pretty decent team, so I think that's a pretty decent win.
Yeah, and I think I was seeing some of the Wisp Sports coverage. It suggested they would kind of be at the top of that second tier of North Shore teams, which in theory is probably about even with maybe where Waukesha North would be, given they're a lower tier team in probably the best conference in the state. But still, to win handily is a really good sign for them. And North, they were supposed to open up on their new facility with synthetic turf as well. They had to move to Kettle Moraine because the field wasn't ready. So that was a bummer for them. Waukesha South had a similar situation with Nick Galea, was their first week opponent. That game
first round. We're not in the playoffs yet.
No.
Quit saying first round.
I do love the playoffs.
Jeez.
I do. Waukesha West opened their new field. They struggled with Watertown for a brief moment or two, and then moved on.
But other than that, Class Gate undefeated
7-0 at this point in the season. A nice start. That conference is insane.
Yeah.
It's just so good. There's so much talent. What do you think about this coming week? Where are you headed?
I believe there might be a game on Thursday night once again.
Oh,
maybe.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
I've heard about this. Involving. I want to say Homestead is one of the teams.
Yeah, it might be a matchup of the two best teams in the area for the past decade.
Yes,
that would be Homestead and Arrowhead facing off. It is a rematch. Arrowhead lost it last year on their way to a state title. Homestead won it last year on their way to an exit, I believe, level 3 mm-hmm. to Kimberly. So this one's going to be fun. Out at Arrowhead, I probably need to get there about 5 o'clock to make sure
Seriously,
I have a place to park.
And don't park in the parking lot.
Oh, my goodness.
Find something outside because you will never leave if you're in the parking lot.
Terrible. So that is the big one, definitely, on Thursday. But other than that, I mean, we had talked about Pewaukee. They're taking on Wisco. That's going to be fun. There's a lot of good games.
Definitely. Greendale is facing off with Franklin. Franklin's opening up their new facilities. A lot of new facilities this year. So, yeah, the Homestead-Arrowhead game last year was such a huge deal and totally paid off. Homestead surprises them, wins 13-7. I really believed Arrowhead was going to win. And I don't mind saying this. I thought they were going to win by, like, 3 touchdowns. I really thought so. As good as Homestead was, both of those teams at the time were defending state champs. I just thought Arrowhead was vastly superior based on what I was hearing, reading, seeing. It didn't matter. Homestead found a way, and this year Homestead's on paper probably the better team.
Our friend Mark Stewart has Homestead ranked number 1 and Arrowhead number 2 in his rankings. So here's my question. Based on, like, last year and how much, I mean, Homestead won, but Arrowhead won the state title. Homestead won, and they ended up losing in the playoffs. So, like, are we putting too much on this game? Is this still as big of a deal, maybe, as it seemed last year?
I don't think it's as big a deal as it was last year, because last year they were both defending state champions, and that's a real anomaly, especially D1, D2. I mean, it's unquestioned they were the two best programs in the state. This year, just because the novelty has worn off a little bit, and on top of it, I don't know if we're talking about the same level of powerhouse that we normally are. I still think Arrowhead can win D1. I think Homestead can win D2, but I don't know. Something about the novelty not being there anymore makes it just a little bit less exciting than it was last year.
Yeah, I think it was so fresh and such a fun idea last year of them
right.
meeting in the regular season after they met in the state finals those 3 straight years. So I think there's a little novelty worn off of it, but I mean, I don't know how I can go anywhere else when that one
right.
is on the menu.
Yeah.
You had mentioned Greendale Franklin, which I think is cool because I saw Greendale. They beat Cedarburg. We had the Franklin-Hamilton game, I think. Last week. And then the winners play each other, and now the losers are going to play each other.
Yes.
And what that means is that either Sussex-Hamilton or Cedarburg are going to be 0-2
right.
after this weekend, which to me is crazy.
And we talked about this a little bit before we got started. Pewaukee is a really good team. They lost
yes.
to Waterford 14-13. They play Wisco. Conceivably, I mean, Wisco should be favored to win that game.
Correct.
It's at Pewaukee, but still a very, you know, that's a tough start. Then they go face Greendale, defending state runner-up. And a returning state runner-up, a team that probably will be favored to beat them again.
Yeah.
Then they play Wauwatosa West, who has a lot of talent back and could contend for the Woodland West title. I mean, Pewaukee could win any one of those games.
Correct.
But they could also be 0-4 and still be one of the area's best teams. That'd be crazy.
Not to mention, Tosa West hung 42 on Tosa East. Tosa
yes.
East, traditionally not very good. That's fine. But the point remains is that they scored 42 points all by the end of the third quarter. And they
right.
held Tosa East to 7. So that's an interesting little development out there at Pewaukee.
Yeah, Tosa West is good this year. Now, they should be able to handle Tosa East. Right now, they are the kings of the city, no doubt. But that's right. Pewaukee's still a very good team, and I still think they'll end up in the playoffs. But they could conceivably have a rough start to the year. But it doesn't matter, because all that matters is where you are at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And at their level, they'll still be plenty good.
So where are you going?
That's a good question. I'm actually
Thank
going
you.
Out of town because I have some family stuff going on in Michigan.
Okay, so you're just
going to
forget about
it. I'm going to forget about you,
okay.
if that's all right.
That makes sense.
Where I would have gone
yeah.
was to see Maguana go against Badger. The Badger head coach is a guy by the name of Matt Hensler. His dad, Keith Hensler, very famous coach at Maguanago, led them to the state championship in 2004, won 199 games as head coach there. He's now an assistant at Badger. They're going to name the field at Maguanago High School after him. So it's a big to-do, and Maguanago at this point should be favored to win after watching the first week's outcomes. But But that's always an interesting battle. You've got the current Maguanago regime led by Clay Iverson, the coach, against kind of the former Maguanago regime with the Hensler family.
Similar to those lines, the one and only Jed Kennedy will be back at Kenosha Bradford this week.
It's like all the storylines are lining up just for the non-conference season.
Now, that might not be that great of a game. Kenosha Bradford has suffered a little bit with the opening of Indian Trail.
Yes.
So their enrollment went down. They don't quite have the talent that they used to. Jed Kennedy, who was their former head coach, led them to the state title, went to Florida to coach for a year, went to Pulaski to coach for a year. But now he's with Brookfield Central, and Brookfield Central plays at Kenosha Bradford. How fun is that?
It's the Battle of Jed Kennedy. And that's a little cosmic, because it's not like Jed Kennedy came to Brookfield Central and said, let's play Kenosha Bradford in the second week of the season. The schedule was already set. So that's kind of amazing how it just sort of cosmically worked out. I'm sure there'll be some eyes on that game. I mean, it could be a decent game. Central probably should win, but you never know. You never know how that's going to play out.
And then finally, my personal favorite, the Lake Country Lutheran Lightning.
Yes.
My boys over there taking on Catholic Central.
That's as big a game as they'll see all year.
100%.
They're going to be pretty much favored to win every one of their league games. And the two of the top teams in Division 7. It's small school football. It doesn't look like the big school football. There's no two platooning. There's no sidelines that go on forever with kids in uniforms. It's just, you know, your 25 kids against my 27 kids, and it's pretty fun stuff, and that will be a big, big indicator of how good we can expect those two teams to be this year.
Yeah, and I keep saying that it was probably 3 years ago now, watching that LCL Catholic Central game was one of the coolest things I had done for high school football, just watching the way that these kids are battling, and battle truly is an appropriate word here. I know we don't always like comparing football to war, but the way that these kids are getting hurt, you know, on like every play because they're so tired, then you can't sit out. I mean, you can go to the sidelines, but you got to get right back in there.
And it feels weird to be at a game like that. It doesn't feel like, I don't want to say this, I'm trying to say this so it doesn't sound bad.
No, it will, just go for it.
It feels like you're watching kind of a Pop Warner game because you can get so close, there aren't that many fans there, but it's so important. I feel it in a good way. It's almost like, it's if there is such a thing as football that isn't hyped up too much like varsity football can sometimes be, it's definitely at that level. It's really fun to watch.
And have you been down to Catholic Central to watch a game there?
Not in many, many years. I might have when I first started about a decade ago, but I don't think I've been there. I certainly haven't been there since. I don't know if I've ever been there.
Yeah, it's just it's a really, really cool environment. It's down, like it's
like
kind of
a valley, right?
Exactly. It's kind of like submerged. It's in a bowl is basically what I call it.
Yeah.
And they have a big like wall of champions there. With like all their conference titles and state championships and whatever, so that one is going to be awesome. So if I do two games this weekend, because I think Homestead Arrowhead is on Thursday, so if I do a Friday game as well, I think that is probably the prime contender for my Friday whereabouts.
Excellent. So what else you got going on your network here, your little Time Warner Sports?
My little network?
Time Warner Cable Sports.
My little network. Well,
you do run the show, do you not?
I run my show.
Oh,
I don't run the show.
Okay.
But the Badgers are starting this week.
What?
I know.
They're going to Dallas or something?
Houston,
you know.
Weirdo.
Texas. Yeah, okay, I may have known that. That's going to be fun, huh? Big game.
So they're going to Houston on Saturday, so we have some position previews. I mean, we've basically covered all of it in the last month or so. So this week is the D-line, the secondary, and the wide receiver corps. So a little preview there.
Hey, what do you think Wisconsin's going to beat LSU? Do you have any vibe on that whatsoever?
I think they definitely can. I mean, I'd say it's 50-50. I mean, think they're ranking... Well, I actually
they're
don't
like
think
13,
Wisconsin...
14.
Yeah, they're 13-14. I think they should be ranked about one apart because LSU had three dynamic playmakers last year and they all left. You know, so they're starting, I think, four freshmen in some key positions, some key skill positions. So I don't think it's a given by any means. The problem, obviously, is that you have Chikwe Obashi, Conrad Zegzebski, and Warren Herring starting on your defensive line, and that's not necessarily the lineup that you want to start with.
Yeah.
Chikwe could be an absolute All-American by the time he's done. But the point remains that he's a redshirt freshman,
right.
So he hasn't played competitive football in 2 years. So I think their defense, has a lot of questions. And, it's probably year two, which helps them under Dave Aranda. But I would lean towards LSU because it's a lot less of a big deal for them. For them, it's almost business as usual just because the game's,
it's in their backyard.
Yeah, it's in their backyard. It's close to their campus. They're used to playing in whatever weather they're going to have in that whatever situation with all their fans. So I would probably lean towards LSU, but I mean, they still have, Badgers still have their offensive line. They still have Melvin Gordon. If they just run the ball, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I found it a little funny, just the focus on the quarterback issue with Wisconsin with Tanner McAvoy and Joel Staave, and it looks like they're going to McAvoy. But then you've got LSU, and they're like, we're just going to play two quarterbacks. They don't need to come up with a decision. I don't think Wisconsin does either right away. I know that everyone wants a singular guy. I'm sure it's going to play itself out over the course of the first few games.
You don't need a decision. You're just going to run the ball anyway.
Yeah,
who cares?
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure, and you know, getting closer to the NFL season as well.
Cool. What are you writing about these days, huh?
Well, the one thing we're doing... I'm only doing one thing.
God.
Or at least I'm trying to only do one thing. The Push for the Playoffs coverage, that's a website that we run at mycommunitynow.com. Tons and tons and tons of content there. We've got...
It's ginormous.
It is ginormous. We've got links to how former players are doing. We've got kind of a rundown of where all the teams stand, some of the top players in the area, some polls, rankings, you know, all kinds of pictures and galleries and stuff. It's pretty crazy stuff. So if you check that out, mycommunitynow.com/push. That's where you can find me. It's my handiwork. I update it every week. Got stats leaders and stuff. So check it out. Tons of you know, blood, sweat, and tears go into that. Not so much tears. Maybe not
Why
even really
crying?
Blood and sweat. Maybe just typing. A lot of typing goes into it.
Yeah. And probably a lot of, like, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, a little bit of Mountain Dew. One of my favorite features is we do a Coach's Confidential. I've emailed a few coaches, and they get their responses to some hot-button topics. Like, in the past, things like, you know, do you feel steroids is a problem in football? Do you feel the officiating in the area is good? Do you think it's a good idea to have names on the back of your jerseys, you know? I really enjoy that sort of thing and just getting the anonymous responses from coaches. They're really candid when they know their name's not going to be on it. And I love to hear what they have to say about some of the broader issues from sports. And then we're doing a You Make the Call. This is the second year of that. Some crazy rules in high school football. Some crazy, crazy rules. It's fun to get a glimpse into some of the weirder ones.
All right, get out of here. I'm going to read this page now because I'm going to be busy for a couple hours.
All right, yeah, it's going to take you a while. Hey, thanks for tuning in once again. By the way, you can catch links to our podcast on Push for the Playoffs, in case you were wondering.
Well, they already found it, so I don't think this is the target audience.
Well, in case you want to find the next one, because we'll be back more frequently now that it's
nice.
The fall season, right?
Sweet! Thanks everybody. This was fun. We'll see you next time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.